Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. And like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from. And to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours, welcome Black, National Talk Black. Happy saying Yan Up Strong, your mob too, deadly. All is here. I want to give a big shout out to Forum W, Torres Strait Island. Thank you for tuned in as well. And to all our deadly Murray radio stations across the First Nation radio station across the country. Thank you for tuning in to National Talk Black. All right, calls for Krista Fully to act on Cape York priorities. We're talking about the new elect premier or for the state of Queensland, and that's David Krista Fully. And we've got First Nation people. We have Mr. Wilkie Jans, Jack Wilkie Jans, a former deputy chair of Cape York Sustainable Future, formerly Cape York Peninsula Development Association and Tourism Cape York. Says the Cape York Peninsula was overlooked during the Queensland government election campaign, has sorely missed out, calling out the lack of advocacy from all candidates. We are going to have a yarn now with Jack on the line. Jack, good morning. How are you, my brother?
I'm well, thanks, Uncle. And yourself?
I'm very good. I'm very good. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Jack?
Yes, so my name is Jack Wilkie Jans. I'm from Western Cape, Cape York Peninsula. So Chungunji and Tepetiki from Mapoon and Wangi from Gulf of Carpentaria and, you know, English, Vanuatu and Danish and a whole lot of other...
Fruit salad, my brother, fruit salad.
Fruit salad, that's right.
And we've got connection there 1 year, so thank you very much. So, yeah, we've got a new sheriff in town. We're talking about the new premier for the state of Queensland, Dave Krista Fully. And you mentioned here is the fact that Cape York was sorely missed out and calling out for lack of advocacy from all candidates. So where are we sitting with that, and how does the future look for even for the next 4 years for the state of Queensland, for Cape York and mob in the Torres Straits?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time. You know, of course, the last time that the LNP were in government was 10 years ago, and only
Mr. Newman
formally. Mr. Newman, exactly. And
well, there's a new man in town, David Krista Fully.
There's a new man. Well, Krista Fully, you know, he was part of government as well. And David Kempton, who's the Member of Parliament for Cook now.
Yes.
And he was also a Member for Cook, you know, back in 10 years ago. So in that sense, we have an advantage in that we have a Member of Parliament who knows the area, who knows the issues, what we don't have is a commitment from the government across, you know, pretty much any policy direction. And I think it was yesterday or the day before the ministerial charter letters were published on the government's website. And these letters are from the Premier, David Krista Fully, to his ministers that outline what their, you know, priorities or their focus should be. You know, Cape York isn't mentioned. Sadly, the Peninsula Development Road, which is formerly called the Cape York Region Package, you know, there's no mention of that. There's no mention of, you know, what's the economic future for Cape York going to be after 10 years of Labor and, you know, 4 years now ahead with the LNP. There's just nothing there. And I feel, you know, that there's nothing there with the government. But remember, it's the candidates' responsibility. So that was everybody that ran for the seat of Cook.
Sure.
It's their responsibility to put forward what are the issues. And, you know, I'm hoping that Kempton is in Brisbane after being sworn in, you know, knocking on those doors. But, of course, you know, we as the people of Cape York and of the electorate of Cook, we got to knock on those doors ourselves as well and push.
Sure. But when you're talking about a new elect Member of Parliament for the seat of Cook, David Kempton, who's been there before, LNP, well, he's still got a boss, and that's David Krista Fully, who's the Premier, who's LNP as well. So would you say the LNP party are not Indigenous friendly?
That remains to be seen, of course. You know, there's a lot of talk about the Truth and Treaty Inquiry and,
exactly.
and the piece of legislation that underpins that and what's happening there. You know, it is true that for 2 years, the Labor Party weren't able to make that consolidated and you know, really present to the state of Queensland what Truth and Treaty could look like in a formal sense. And that, I believe, would have helped at the election, if we at least had a line of sight onto how that would go down, it would have impacted the votes. But, you know, we've got Fiona Simpson now, who's the Minister for Indigenous Affairs in Queensland.
So there should be some conversation with Fiona, of course, as well as David Kempton, and if not David, David Crisafulli as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kate Bjork, and including Zenas Kessis, has a number of working treaties, I suppose you could call them, that, you know, they're frameworks that exist. You know, this is something that needs to be looked at. But I do worry that one of the treaty documents, if you would, which is called the Cape York Heads of Agreement, which goes way back to the 90s, it was drafted actually in the 80s, was signed in the 90s is what I mean. You know, that document is so outdated, and it is the document that enshrines the way that, you know, Queensland government operate with this particular area, which is Cape York Peninsula. And it leaves us cold. It leaves us without any opportunity. You know, it was drafted back in a time where cattle was the major industry, mining's a major industry. But when you look to the Western Cape and Rio Tinto sort of, you know, they're not, I wouldn't say they're winding down their operations, you know, by tomorrow. But Andoon, which is right next to Weipa, 5 years to go on that mine site. And so there is this whole emphasis on Cape York going, well, what do we do after mining? You know, is it going to be fisheries? Is it going to be forestries? Is it going to be cattle? You know, will you return to cattle in some ways? I don't see, you know, that one being viable. Tourism. We've got, I think, two stages of a major infrastructure development project, which is sealing the Peninsula Development Road. That is a major highway. It links all the communities in the Cape down really to Cairns and Mareeba for goods and services. You know, that project is just sort of left there. The government have come through saying, as in the state government, saying that they'll commit to $60 million for that project, provided that the federal government also add on
but
top that, of
that. There was Labor talk, wasn't it, when they was in government?
Correct. It was a Labor promise at the election, so you know, coming into the election campaign. So this is, you know, where we don't have anything new and innovative, you know, to give the people of Cape York any hope for the future. We also have a government that's, you know, copy and pasting a policy from the former government. And if that was all that they could give us in Cape York, then why did we change
government,
you know, hands when it comes to that seat anyway?
Well, if there's no action in the space, and you said there's no mentioning of Cape York or First Nation people and Torres Strait and what have you with the new government, that would take us back to the 1950s, would it not?
Well, in a sense, we were already back in the 1950s for the last 10 years because, you know, while Cynthia did a lot of work, it, really, Cape York was managed by the bureaucrats, and we had enough of that under the protectionist era. And the problem with having bureaucrats deliver for any area is that that doesn't come through necessarily a pure ministerial directive. And, of course, you only get ministerial directives from grassroots advocacy. So it isn't just the road. It isn't just about an economic future. There's a whole raft of legislation that is outdated that the LNP back 10 years ago didn't have an opportunity to address either, which was incredible considering they had one of the most phenomenal majorities in this parliament. Cape York Regional Plan is restrictive as to what townships can do. We've got a native title claim across the entire peninsula that isn't working, that in my opinion is, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's corrupt, but I would say it's certainly not working for our people.
Yes.
There's so much that's not. World Heritage listing has been put on the table by the government and the federal government with no indication of what that means for our future as well, whether it be good or bad. So really, I think what we need from the government is just a little bit of clarity around what are they hearing? What do they perceive the issues to be?
Well, when you say a bit of clarity, Cape Girls are not even mentioned in their vision, so there's no clarity there by no statement. Exactly.
You know,
if you're black, stay back.
That's right. Well, you know, it's kept in the dark. We need a lot of transparency in the way that public funding is distributed across Cape York Peninsula for a raft of different things, not just infrastructure, but social policies as well. A lot of them aren't working. We've had nearly 30 years of this sort of thing that has been brainchilded by Noel Pearson, and if these things aren't working, they're costing over $500 million. Where's the result? But at the same time, we don't have an incoming government who's making those inquiries, who's leading with some innovation, or at least anything new for us. And, arts and culture can link directly into tourism, directly into infrastructure projects such as, the PDR upgrade. The art centres across the Cape are either not funded or they're falling down, literally. These buildings are, could be tourism hubs. They could also be...
Well, exactly. And they create jobs, and they create, black businesses, and working and living on their own country and operating business or working on country. That in itself, I said, that's not an expense. That's investment. So you're talking about $60 million. You meant stage three in the PDR. Serious investments, in the Lakeland Dam. There's a lot of work to be done. And if you're not even mentioned on the so-called vision of your paper going into the future, then it does look dull, does look dim light for black people.
Very bleak.
Yes, very
bleak. And looking at Cape, and just in terms of the border politics, not just about the government, but you have, coming to Cairns, for example, which is sort of the gateway for, the north, you've got advanced Cairns, you've got the Chamber of Commerce, you've got, a very proactive local government here, who are all pushing for Cairns' needs. The water infrastructure in Cairns is something like $500 million. Yep. How does Cape York get any cut through with Parliament when we need $1 billion for a dam, and actually we need an extra $300 million to finish that road that includes sealing it to Bamaga? It's very expensive, and I feel like we get to a point where we're afraid to ask for too much, but we shouldn't have to. We should have a member of Parliament who's out there,
And I hear a lot of black people say if they were white communities, this wouldn't be happening.
No, it wouldn't be. We only have, 15, I want to say from 14,000 to 17,000 people in the Cape, those census figures, I'm not quite sure, but it's less than 20,000 for sure. And, that's not enough voters to force the hand of Parliament in Brisbane. But we need to get our matters put forward. And, I'm just doing this today.
Yes, having a yarn on National Talk Black. Yep, they do listen to the program, government. Yep.
And everyone out there listening needs to do the same thing, I think. Write your letters. David Kenton's getting set up. It's the same email address, cook@parliament.qld.gov.au. So write to him. Make sure that he hears us.
Okay, there it is. Step up. Thank you for your yarn, my brother. And please keep in touch.
Thanks, Uncle.
And we'll yarn soon.
Yeah, we'll do.
Thanks, Jack.
All right, up off.
Deadly Yarn there, Jack Wilkie Jans, a traditional owner from Mapoon, Western Cape, Aboriginal Affairs advocate, is calling on David Crucifulli, the new Premier for Queensland Government, to commit to a raft of policy needs for the Cape York Peninsula. Papers were put forward in regard to LNP's vision for the state of Queensland, and Cape York wasn't mentioned. Go figure. Have your say, Yana Strong, to the conversation here, National Talk Black.
listening to National Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying Yan Up Strong? All right, big shout out to Yumi Arts. They have another exhibition. The summer show completes the 2024 exhibition season with a gift-worthy showcase of Queensland First Nation best. And we're coming up to Christmas, so it'd be a good time to purchase some deadly arts and for your deadly family, for friends or what have you. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with the First Nation artist, or one of the First Nation artists, who's an exhibitor at the Summer Show exhibition, and that's Connie Ravina. Got Connie on the line. Connie, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks, Trev. Good morning, and good morning to all our listeners out there.
Thank you very much, my sister. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Connie?
My mob, we're from further north. We're Kokotaipan. My grandma's side, and
yes.
Granddad's side is Whitty from the Central Coast, Queensland, not coastline, but Nebo way.
Okay, beautiful. Good footprint. Thank you very much. So, look, you wear a couple of hats. You're one of the artists, exhibitors, in the summer show that's coming up. That's been launched today.
So we're sort of pretty proud of that fact.
Yes. And when you're talking Yumi Arts, how long has Yumi Arts been running for, Connie?
Well, we're heading up to our 20th year now, so next year we'll be having our celebration
for
being in operation and supporting artists in the region with programs and workshops and exhibitions and many different things, actually.
Many different things. Look, and a fantastic vehicle in regarding supporting our artists up and coming. 20 years, you're talking about artists who've probably been there from the get-go and still operating. It's a great platform as such. And tell us about, you wear a couple of hats. You're a director, but also secretary. Is that the case?
Yeah, it is. Trev. Just been really enjoying it so much. And, you know, like sometimes we get a little bit overwhelmed with things because we're having such fun. But this year I've decided to take on a little bit more of a role. I want to be more involved in getting our mob to those levels that we need to be at to, you know, produce work for to create our own businesses and to just pick up, you know, all those specialist skills that are required in the art field.
Sure.
And also being able to communicate with different levels of operations and organisations.
And we've always got artists coming through, whether they be elderly just starting out or the young person coming out of high school and found a passion in art. And that's what Yumi Arts does. It creates that platform as such. So when you're talking about the summer show exhibition kicking off today, how many artists would be at the table in this exhibition? And would some of them be first time exhibiting? Yep.
Our collection of artists we've got about 12, I think.
Okay.
Exhibiting in this, and most of us are, you know, like we've exhibited before, so most of us would be midstream, I would say.
Okay.
Got some really good works. We've created special ones just for the summer show because we want to be able to move them a little quicker.
Sure.
And you know, towards the end of the year, people are looking for those gifts for Christmas. And,
yes.
You know, just that something was something really special, like extra story from country and, you know, just connecting people.
And when we talk art, we talk at all different aspects of arts, whether it be pottery, whether it be canvas, whether it be painting, print, what have you. Is that the case with the summer show exhibition?
Yeah, we've got a collection of all sorts of different pieces. We've got some Michelle Yateman doing pottery from Yarrabah.
Yes.
We've got prints. We've got local artists in the region with their local paintings. Kevin Edmondson with his paintings and some carvings. So, yeah, we've got a pretty good collection.
Good. Fantastic. And so you've got some pieces there as well as an artist? Secretary,
yeah,
director, slash.
Only the two pieces.
Two pieces, all right. Thank you.
My piece is just referred to birds.
So. All right, beautiful. And describe your art. Are we talking painting or what are we talking?
Yeah, I've got a couple of paintings in.
Good, okay, Connie, yep.
My style is, that North Queensland style. We like, we learn a lot about our animal designs, yes. up this way.
Yes.
And that's the sort of style that I've done my whole life.
Mm.
Fantastic.
Now, I caught you at the Fashion Week parade there at the Benson Hotel the other night.
Yes.
Of course, you were there and witnessing what was going on. You were talking about a vision for your art to go into fashion. So you're excited about that, or is that the vision for that to happen?
Yeah, I am actually, Trev.
Good.
I just see, what Indigenous people, our people, our mob have done in the last, 10 years has been phenomenal.
Yes.
With fashion. They had a photograph of the Amalfi Coast as one of the backboards at the Benson. I could easily just see anywhere in Cairns or along our Darwin coast,
artwork.
Just the variety and
sure.
colour and style and design that we have is exciting. It's really
yes.
electrifying. And I'm hoping myself to step into that.
Good.
I just want to keep being absorbed in our own culture in that way.
Mm. Well, I've always said that we are wealthy being black when we talk about our culture. We just got to get our skin in the game or get active, get proactive, just sitting on the goal and who we are, and our culture is rich in more ways than one, But thank you for sharing, my sister. Congratulations. So that all kicks off this afternoon and goes for a month, you're saying?
Yeah.
The summer show exhibition. And over there at the UMI Arts, over there on Jensen Street, yes?
Yep.
All right, cool. So bring your credit card, bring your ATM card, and purchase some daily gifts for family, for loved ones, for Christmas. So there it is. And thank you for sharing. A big shout out to your deadly team. And I believe
thank
I'll be catching up having a yarn with Kevin Edmondson very soon as well. But thank you, Connie. You keep smiling. And we'll talk soon, sister.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. Connie Ravina, her name is, First Nation artist and summer show exhibitor. So she's there performing a couple of pieces she mentioned, and they're going to be 12 odd artists showcasing their staff, their work at the summer show exhibition at the UMI Arts. So do check it out, your local mob here in Cairns, and it's a great opportunity for your mob not in Cairns. Do check out UMI Arts, it's UMI, UMI Arts, and check out all the work that they do, and look, fantastic, supporting our artists, supporting it in the business sense, but also supporting them for purchasing the work and good gifts for coming up to Christmas. There it is. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and big shout out to the NERS team as well. National Talk Black, yarn up strong.
Caught on your lips, I'm a little caught on your lips. you once, now I'm caught on your lips. I'm just a little caught on.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it, be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
Australia, it's time to check your tech. The national 3G network is closing from the 28th of October. Your devices might not work when it's gone. From your phone to your smartwatch and your tablet, even personal emergency alarms, FPOS terminals, and fire and security alarms. Check your tech so you and your family stay safe and connected. Visit 3gclosure.com.au and act before the 28th of October.
Station sponsor.
National Talk Black.
Marasound Productions.
When I was a young boy, I used to watch my old man.
Daddy, can you lend me the song?
And speak wah wah.
You no forget my boy.
You lock them baduman as in.
And speak, I could sing you this song.
Song called the German Mache.
Ina kizaka misaka maika na paiki wura baruya. Kuba sena kairama lata tayanu. Ari bai bai kubi kubi yage kaga.
Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bama Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Israeli Service. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from. And to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours, welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yanup Strong, your mob too deadly. All is here. I want to give a big shout out to Forum W, Torres Strait Island. Thank you for tuned in as well. And to all our deadly Murray radio stations across the First Nation radio station across the country, thank you for tuning in to National Talk Black. We've got Wichua Yarnin and catch up and have a yarn with Senior Sergeant Glenda Lai, flying solo from Edmonton Police. We're talking Christmas cyber scams. And yes, need to be aware of that. And we've got Glenn on the line. Glenn, good morning. How are you, brother?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Flying solo, brother.
Flying solo today, yep.
Good, great to see you, my friend. Good, let's have a yarn. So we're talking about Christmas cyber scams. Look, we are in the 21st century. People out there breaking an entry into houses and buildings and what have you, but they can also tackle us online. And yep, that's what we're talking about here, aren't we?
It's a little bit sneaky, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely, with the holiday season approaching. While we're looking at Christmas sales, so are the scammers, and all they're thinking is how they can get your hard-earned money into their accounts. Scammers are fairly crafty in what they do. They may use email, SMS, or social media, and they're trying to trick you into revealing your account information or financial details. And there's, they may even set up fraudulent websites to try and get you to pay for non-existent products. So things that don't exist.
Non-existent products. So here we are in the, our minds and eyes and ears are open for shopping ideas, shopping gifts for our family and friends.
Yeah.
So you see something online, reckon, oh, that man, little Johnny will love that.
Exactly. Yep.
Then they go and then putting all the details, and there's the scam lying before you.
Exactly, and you're one click away then from losing money. You know,
That's scary. Yes.
And that's a difficult thing because they do come in different forms, and they're very hard to spot. Scams. You know, so look.
What's some tips you got there for us?
Yeah, look, we've got a few tips just to help you keep safe. So look, I'll start with using trusted websites. Okay, so these are websites that start with HTTPS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what that does is it indicates that the website encrypts the data between your browser and the server. Okay, so no one else is listening. It's just between you and who you're speaking to.
Okay.
A real important one there is to verify the URL, which is the address. Okay, and one of the examples they use here is spelling Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. Okay, and spelling it Amazon, M-A-Z-A-N.
Oh, one letter
so,
missing.
So they've tricked you into removing the O and replacing
an
it with an A.
And you're thinking it's Amazon because you're only looking at the a quick glance.
Yep.
Oh, that's Amazon.com.
Exactly.
And that's Amazon.
Exactly. And look, the website may absolutely replicate a Amazon website and you believe that it's genuine.
Mm.
So it's just a matter of just checking that address and checking the correct spelling. So, look, another thing is... don't use direct bank deposits or money transfers, digital currencies such as Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem pretty silly that someone's asking for you to use those methods to pay.
Mm.
So probably use the trusted ones like PayPal, Apple Pay or Google Pay because they have that added layer of security to your payment.
Yes.
Look, and after you make that payment, let's make sure that you've got a confirmation email or receipt so you can keep track of what you've just purchased and follow.
Because scammers won't give you a receipt, will they?
Look, it's just another added layer. They may give you a receipt, but at least at this stage you've got some sort of...
It's a gammon receipt.
Yeah, at least this way you've got something to confirm that the money's been paid, you know?
Exactly.
And look, another little trick there is that many online stores offer to store your credit card or payment information for future use. So that way you don't have to keep typing in that same number.
Sure, they've got your number on file and that's it. They got your number on file.
Exactly. And look, it's probably convenient, but we'd probably advise that you don't and put that information in each time so that someone can't just keep using your details to take the money. Look, one I didn't know, using a credit card instead of a debit card. Credit cards typically offer a better fraud protection because your account's not directly linked to the transaction. So
you're suggesting if you're going to use your card, use a credit card, not an ATM card.
Not a debit card. Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because so, credit cards are mainly protected, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah, yep. Yeah. So it's just another added layer of protection when you're purchasing items. And look, while we're talking bank accounts, definitely review your bank account or credit card statements for unauthorized transactions, because that may tip you straight off, and then you know that something's been purchased that didn't involve.
And usually, banks give you a call just to confirm this is you, to send you a text. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
They've got their own sort of fraud
security
there. So
space, yeah.
Yep. Warning signs: look, extremely low prices, payments through direct bank deposits, online stores that are very new or limited information about delivery and other policies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all little warning signs that can maybe tip us off that we're about to be scanned. Now, avoid engaging with unexpected shopping or shipping theme messages. So really, if you want to confirm a claim or offer, go directly to the legitimate source. So that would be you type, instead of following a link, you type in the actual retailer's website or log on to an account via a trusted app, or even making that phone call to a known contact number.
Yes.
So just verify who you're actually dealing with. Imposters, look, like I said, we were talking about that Amazon example.
Mm.
They will use a very familiar brand names, logos, images, so that you think that you are on a legitimate website. So really just take that time to have a look at the website and confirm that it is
exactly
that's who you're buying from.
That's the company you're buying from, yep.
And then another risky area is public Wi-Fi. For transactions, okay. So if we probably want to use our home Wi-Fi, but public, it just makes they're insecure, and it makes it easier for hackers to intercept your data. And look, of course, strong passwords. Make sure you've got a very strong password. And look, I'll finish up with my last tip. With it's common for attackers to promise amazing access to amazing limited time deals, or make people afraid that a shipment won't be delivered.
All going hot, yeah, hot like pancakes. Jump in now,
sort of thing. Absolutely. So they're doing this to trick you into acting quickly, based on your emotional response.
Emotional response, yes,
so,
exactly.
So that's their game plan, and look, they're quite successful. I will say, if you have been scammed, don't feel like a fool. It absolutely happens to the best of us.
These people on the other side, they're good.
They're crafty. Yep. They know what they're doing.
Exactly.
So, if you have been scammed, report it to the authorities, and and don't feel that guilt that you're a foolish person, because, I'm quite sure bankers have been scammed out of their money.
Well, exactly.
More than likely than the rest of us. So. Some very, very intelligent people are very easily scammed.
Sure.
With the tools that they use.
You're dealing with professionals on the other side.
Absolutely.
In the negative sense, they're good at what they do.
And look, the sad part is once that money has left the country, it makes it very hard for us to track
exactly.
it.
Yes, exactly. 9 out of 10, they are from out of the country, aren't
that's
they?
That's correct. Yeah. Yep. And it's unlikely that we will get that that money back to help.
Well, we're talking the silly season, aren't we, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delight? Christmas cyber scams, they're about. We're out there looking for gifts and what have you for our loved ones. And we are shopping online, because if you're not online, then you're in line, you know. And that's the sort of thing we do. There's a cheaper, faster way of doing our shopping, what have you, and bringing them out into the people, so to speak. But we need to be careful.
Communicate
before you leave.
Communicate as well, your children are also on there buying things.
Yeah, true.
Like mine and your era, we probably like to walk into a shop and physically pick something
up to buy. Thank you.
That's right. Pay cash.
Feel it. Grab it. Yeah, pay cash.
But certainly, like our younger generation, that's their world, and and they've got to be well aware that they also could be losing their money to a scam.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, good yarn with you. Thank you very much. All the best. You got some time off for Christmas, have you, bro?
I do have, after Christmas. Yep.
After Christmas.
Yep. So okay. Normally take a little. Few weeks off after Christmas, because I happen to have a birthday very
around the time.
Shortly after Christmas.
Okay, there you go. It's all about you, eh?
It is all about me.
And thank you, and that's good to see, and your family would love that. All the best to you, Glenn Delay, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, and big shout out to your team, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Sure. Thanks, Rep.
To Delhi. Beautiful yarn there, and that's which way yarning segment, and that's coming from the Edmonton Police. And big shout out to the Edmonton Police and the team there. And their yarn today was Christmas cyber scams, and they're out and about and delivering that conversation. Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy, been around with us now, I think, from day dot. So going back in the day, coming up to about 10 odd years. So fantastic, a good program for our daily program here, National Talk Black. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Too deadly.
I just gotta turn the music around and make